Welcome to the Meet Skype for Business on Mac session. We're going to talk about, just to give a brief overview of what we're going to do before intros, we're going to talk about the new client that's getting released in the next couple of weeks, the one that I'm sure all of you have been testing in preview and providing feedback on. And we will go into basically cover the Mac client from start to finish and then go into some troubleshooting things that pertain specifically to the Mac client. So intros first, I'm Richard Schwendeman. I am the senior program manager on the preview team that handles client all up and specifically the Skype for Business on Mac client. Jason?
Nobody recognized you because you don't have your hat on. So
yes.
I was like, who are you? Jason Collier, architect in the product group. So I work with customers deploying our voice solutions, whether it's Cloud PBX, PSTN conferencing, Cloud Connector, leveraging something everybody should have heard about, Skype Operations Framework. Anyone? Everybody? Come on, almost? Yes. So worked previously to this role in the beta team. So I worked with many of our Mac customers over the last 9 months, a year on the Mac client, from every version through the preview, from the very infant stages. So very familiar with the Mac client. Do we have any folks in here that were part of the preview program? Awesome. All happy? Whoa, far less hands.
Look at that.
So you guys want to talk to Rich afterwards? So,
and I'll give you Paul's email address. Okay. All right, so agenda, what we're going to cover, we're going to give an experience. We're going to go through kind of the backstory on Link for Mac and then what we're getting into Skype for Mac, and then go through some of the designs of the newly released client, which will be getting released soon to everybody. The understanding of the deployment requirements. So there are some requirements that are specific to the Mac client. We changed the architecture that's underlying the client. We want to go into some of the requirements, some of the troubleshooting tips for that. And then lastly, we're going to cover the roadmap and what it's going to look like for future updates that are going to come after we RTM.
So one of the things we're doing, we have a short time segment, 45 minutes. So what Rich and I did was we condensed the slides because we wanted to truly open the floor for question and answers. So we'll go through these fairly quick. If you have questions on the content we're covering, feel free to raise your hand or yell it out. I'll repeat it. And then we'll go from there. But really want to open that up for Q&A. We're the last session of the day. So if you do have those long-running questions, we can come up afterwards. We've got all the time in the world. So elephant in the room. Anybody in my troubleshooting session this morning? OK, a few. So Link for Mac client was not our best client we produced. Our bad.
They agree.
Whoops. So, you know, who knew taking a bunch of Windows devs, giving them a copy of Xcode and saying, go write a Mac client. Who knew that wasn't going to work out, right? So our bad, our mistake, you know, a little mulligan and we'll start over. So that's where we made our mistakes. You know, you guys have roughed through the Link for Mac client. Who used the Link for Mac client? CEO, CIO, and executives, right? Who do you hate phone calls from?
And
nobody says it on the microphone. They're like, oh, CEO could call me all day long. So we know we owe you guys a bit of a mea culpa. And we've really, I think, overdone it with the Skype for Business for Mac client. So Rich, let's, you know, we talked about the mistakes. You know,
yep.
It wasn't you, it was me. You know. So let's talk about where we're going from here.
So where we're going from here, first of all, let's start on how we came about to the new Skype for Business Mac client. So we have a Stockholm team that previously wrote the iOS app for Skype for Business, and what we did was those developers are specific to Mac. So we had them rewrite the client from the ground up, and in that, they're keeping in mind of what a Mac user is going to experience, and that's what they use all day long. They work on the Mac, and they know the ins and outs, and they're not looking at it from a Windows perspective. They're looking at it from a Mac user perspective. So what the client ended up getting based on was UCMP. So it got based on the same technology that we use for mobile clients, and that's the platform that we're going to use for the Mac client. Yep, you can go. All right, so let's get into a little bit about the specifics on the Mac client, the new Mac client. It was rewritten from the ground up. So actually got written from a brand new Xcode project all the way up to what it is today. No code was carried over from the Link4Mac client. It's using the modern approach. When you see the GUI, you know that it's more of a modern app than the Link4Mac app was. It was based off of legacy visual design, and this is in the modern age design. OS X El Capitan, that's what it was written for, in the anticipation that Sierra would be released by the time that we GA'd, and that's what has happened, or right around the same time. So it was built with that in mind, that Sierra and El Capitan would be the supported OSs to run. And then, again, it shares the same stack as the iOS and Android mobile apps. So as far as the media, it was built on all the latest media stacks. So we have HT264 for video code, and then we have Silk for audio. So the media was taken into consideration that we would use the latest and greatest that was out at the time. And then the simple goes into the edge-to-edge design. So you'll see when we go through some of the visuals that the screens take up the entire real estate. And that was a huge focus of the design team, was to give customers the most screen real estate that they could use. Then the one-click meeting join for scheduled meetings. This was definitely an important part that was missing from Link4Mac. Link4Mac didn't have the integration in with the meetings at all. So one click is a long way that we've came for the Skype for Mac client. And then the last one, what we did, and we'll go into this in depth, but there is two different modes for the Windows. So some customers said, hey, great, we want something in a single pane. So the designers and the engineers that wrote the code wrote it for a single window. So it's single window mode. And then some customers said, you know what, we like the design of the separate windows, so having all of our IMs or meetings in separate windows. So we said, you know what, we'll give you the option to be able to choose one over the other. So that is built into the client today. All right, so now we're going to go through some UX highlights. So the first one, single window experience. So this is the new design of the client. This is in single window mode, and that will be the default when you install the client. So in order to get to the multi-window mode, you would actually have to go into preferences and select that. And this is what that would look like in multi-screen mode. So it basically just separates out the content pane into another window, similar to what you've seen in the Link4Mac client previously. So the building calendar and meeting join, this is probably the most integral part of what we did for the design, was now all your meeting information is right in the client. Previously on Link4Mac, you had to go out and go into Outlook and get your calendar data there, join the meeting from there, or copy the URL and paste it into the Link4Mac client. So here you have all your data. You have the actual the meeting details, the single-click join. You have all of your meetings listed for the current day and then the next day after that. And they are highlighted for Skype for Business online meetings versus just a regular meeting that's not Skype for Business, which nobody should have. The next slide is our in-meeting experience. So I'm going to do a demo on this in a little bit, and we're going to show what this group video design looks like. So we have the four window panes that show active video at the time, the most active video, and then we have the speaker's video right below that. And then on the right-hand side, you have the option to turn off the roster or turn off IM so that you gather that real estate from the entire screen, and that's what is in your video. Or you can bring these on one at a time to be able to view the roster or take some roster actions like rejecting users from the meeting or presenting them, promoting them to presenter. So within this same meeting experience, you'll notice that the window color is black. And the reason why that was done was the design team did a lot of surveys, and Paul shaking his head, did a lot of surveys on the best experience within the window. And this is what prevailed out of those surveys. So the next one within that same window, so this is the presented content. So this is sharing a PowerPoint into the meeting. And if you notice, it's optimized to take up just about the entire screen window that you have in the Mac client. So you can easily toggle between the two views. So you can toggle between the video view and then the presenter view. So I'll show that when we go into the demo, toggling between these two different views. The next one, call history. So all of your calls are in the same spot. You have your missed calls, your voicemail, and just your overall recent call list. And this, the good thing about this is you have it all in one single pane. So you can do your dial pad, you can do your call list and your voicemail all in the same pane, rather than having to jump between tabs to be able to get this done. Your contacts list. So the thing I really like about this is just look at the design, how modern it is. It's just using optimal real estate on the screen. It's visually nice and appealing to customers and what customers asked for. And then eventually, one of the things that customers ask about is whether or not we can sort on availability versus groups. So right now you see it's by groups is sorted. Eventually when we get after GA and in the next coming CUs, we will have the ability to sort by availability. I know that was a big question that came up during our preview. So the next one is the actual contact card. So the contact card can be viewed in a couple different spots. This one specifically is under chats. So under chats, they clicked on the picture of the user, and the contact card is shown for that user, and the options to be able to do different modalities within that contact card are right there. And then also, if you go into contacts, you can also grab the contact card from there. So it's making it easily navigatable, so you can grab it from multiple locations based on where you're at in the client at the time. All right. So next, we're going to do a demo. All right, so here is the Skype for Business on Mac latest client. So I came down to meetings, and I'm just going to do a single click join to this meeting. And we have our contacts already in there participating in the meeting. So I'm going to start video. If you guys could start video too, I'll invite this guy.
So keep in mind, we're on a shared wireless network in here, so I'm sure everybody's on the same network as us. So if anybody's streaming content, we'll have some flickering and whatnot.
Yeah, so what I want to do is invite one more user. Yeah, the flickering is due to this connection. All right.
Wait, that looked like JIT ready in there. How'd you do that?
Is this guy locked in us? Yeah, great. My great flickering.
Who knows it? That's probably not the most flattering angle there.
All right, so here is the gallery view. So shot the black video. So this, if we didn't have the flickering, did you guys drop? Because of the flicker. Can you share a PowerPoint into here?
Yeah.
All right, so this is going to be the layout for a video, and as you see Jason's face. So I just want to show real quick what it looks like, not only the video mode. So if we added another video, there would be four tiles of a video showing. And then we have the presentation of the PowerPoint into the meeting.
Is 4 the max?
4 is the max, yes.
Windows is 5?
Windows is 5 and the panoramic. We do. There's not enough for me to show you that, but yes, there is a sitting row below that with pictures. Yes.
And then you would get the four most active speakers or
what's that?
Panorama.
No, panoramic is not in GA. Yeah, it's on the futures backlog, so it probably won't be supported directly after GA, so not in the initial CUs, but it is on our backlog to provide support. Yep.
Yeah. So here's the PowerPoint deck we uploaded. So uploaded it from Windows, viewing it in the Mac client. We've still got the presenters down in the bottom, so you can see that little bottom where that gallery view would be, those video panels down there. So we focus the content change to the PowerPoint. You know, that's obviously the center of attention.
And then you can easily, what I was talking about earlier, easily toggle in between content view and video view is just clicking on the active speaker at the bottom to toggle it over to the active GVC, which everybody dropped off of. Yep. But so that's the experience. You would just click back and forth on the speaker view to be able to view between content and video. All right, so release features. You can go to the next one. All right, so I left this slide in there because I wanted to show where we came from. So we started back in April of the initial preview, so release one, so drop one is what we called it at the time. And that was the brand new meetings-only client. That's the only thing you could do. And even within that meeting, you weren't able to do a lot of the features that you're able to do now. It did have the new UI, but it wasn't what it is today. It was just a newer version of the UI. The design wasn't fully done on it. You did have the newer media stack, and then you had the actual calendar itself within that view for release one. And then a couple months later, we went to drop two, and what drop two introduced was the IM piece and the presence piece. So we stepped through that, and we have got all of your feedback. Thanks a lot for participating in preview and getting that feedback, because that feedback went directly into the client, and that's what helped us find tons of bugs and get additional features into the product. And then right now, we're just releasing drop three. It says September on here, which is the end, and you might question, yeah, we didn't get it yet. But it is going live this week. So you will see the new UI, this UI that's been demoed here and was in the screenshots. Now, the one thing you will notice, and we have a slide on it, is it will be a different build. So it won't be an update to the existing build that you have today. It'll be what Paul was talking about earlier, the Office installer. So it'll be a part of that Office installer and be a normal package like other Mac applications. And in the next slide, we're going to go into some of the stuff that's on the release roadmap. So I have a detailed slide in the deck that shows each individual feature, but I didn't want to go into each one here. I wanted to highlight the features that you guys came to us with and said these are our features that need to be somewhat prioritized post GA. So the first one is QoS packet marking. So a lot of customers have asked, how do we do QoS for the new Mac client? It'll be on the top of the priority list by end of calendar year 16. And then the video-based screen sharing that Jason spoke about earlier in the troubleshooting session. So right now we're using the legacy technology for RDP, but we will be switching over to video-based screen sharing. The one thing that customers came in a lot, because the Mac is used on a lot of management and up-level users is when will we have a boss admin? So boss admin is partially in the client today. So you can, if a call comes in for the boss, you will be able to answer that as an admin. What you don't have is the ability to manage that delegate admin relationship, and then also you won't actually see that the call is coming from the boss. The admin wouldn't see the call is coming from the boss. So this is prioritized for CU right after GA. And then the meetings recording, that was another thing that was brought up a lot. So the ability to record meetings within the meeting session itself. Yep.
Correct.
Yes, you cannot. Now, that's going to be very soon, if not in GA, it'll be very soon right after, right?
Yeah, so the question was, if I'm in a conference mode, I get the ability to share a desktop, but not in a peer-to-peer session.
Yep.
With that, will that allow a desktop control or just viewing?
No desktop control, just viewing.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So next question. On release, will you also add in the Skype meeting into Outlook as well? Will that be?
Yes, absolutely. So the question was, will we add it into Outlook? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's actually in the build that you will get this week. The Outlook integration piece is in there.
Yep.
So you will see the presence in Outlook, be able to schedule meetings. Skype for Mac will be the default IAM client.
Back there with the Mac.
I may have missed it, but is persistent chat one of the features?
No, not. So the question was, is persistent chat? So nothing with persistent chat at this time.
Is it not on your
roadmap? No, not on the roadmap. Say again?
Ouch.
First aid?
We're low on time.
Terminology, this is a terminology moment. So, you know, features are in a backlog, and the marketing guy, that jerk, that's me, insists that when we say roadmap, what we're saying really is two things I ask from engineering in a roadmap that every marketer does. One is, I want to plan, so I have an understanding what you're trying to deliver, and I can message it effectively to customers. And two, I want a reasonable...
Thanks, Paul. Just one thing I want to point out. Oh, go ahead.
So the question is VBSS peer-to-peer or in conferences or both? So VBSS has a dependency on a server CU for on-prem customers, as you know.
So as long as you're on that CO, the conference will support it, and then we'll support it for
in
peer-to-peer.
That CU1.
Within that CU1.
Yeah, but not RTM.
And then just... Go ahead. What's that?
So we've done a ton of testing in the tap and preview programs with USB headsets, devices, all of that. We don't have a better together scenario right now. Say if you had an old Link Phone Edition device or anything like that. We don't have anything like that on the short-term roadmap. But yeah, we did do tons of testing with devices, everything from Sennheiser, Jabra, Logitech, Polycom, all those devices. So
Link certified supported devices should be supported on this client. And if they're not and you're running into any issues in preview, please submit an issue. And just one thing I want to point out on this future CU on the right hand side, there's a couple different features in there, but the PowerPoint uploading and sharing will be post FY or calendar year 16. Just because I know that comes up a lot in customers.
Question? Yes.
So we're going to go into that in a future slide. There are going to be some features that you're not going to have, but
I have a big table that everybody's going to bring up a phone and take a picture of in a second. So,
yep.
Yes, ma'am. It's in a backlog. So like Paul said, you know, it's not something, so when we talk about this, we're talking 3 months. So when we say it's not on the roadmap, that's a fairly short roadmap, you know, because we have 2 days off for Christmas. So probably one actually, but So not in the short-term roadmap. What I would say is if that's very critical for your organization, come up to us afterwards or talk to your account team. Get that message across to us. What we've found is that hasn't come up in preview at all. Is that better together experience? Right. Well, so it's the devices, right? You know, if you're using an old Link Phone Edition device, yeah, there's tons of integration challenges with that device, right? Now, if you got Polycom, they've got to make a BTOE client that's going to do better together over Ethernet, or if you're working with E-Link or, E-Link. Yeah. Audio codes. Sorry. Brain fart.
All right, so here's a quick slide. I'm not going to talk to everything on here, but this gives you the experience of the MAL build that will be released. If you hear the term MAL, that's the Microsoft Auto Update. So here is the instructions to go and download it. Basically, in preview, you go up to the preview portal, pull the latest build down that's labeled SFB Mac_MAL, and that build will be the build for the actual installer, and that's how the updates will come in the future. And then one quick note at the bottom, just that preview will continue even post GA, because we are going to have these features that are going to go in from the last slide. So we are still going to need customers on validation. Now, most customers, the majority of their users are going to be on the GA client, but some testers and admins will still be running the preview client.
So I shortened some of the slides up here really quick since we're running a little late on time. So I immediately recognize there's a ton of questions. So I'm going to try to go through these quick, which is hard for me since I like to talk. So recognize that. We'll try to get more questions answered. So supported platforms. So obviously Link Server 2013, cumulative update 1 on-prem. So for your on-prem customers, you've got to be CU1 or Skype for Business Server 2015.
Can somebody tell me why?
And I will give you Rich's Office 365 pin.
What was released in Link 2013 Server CU1?
Or I'll give you an iPhone since nobody popped up on it.
All right, so it was because the UCY was introduced in Link 2013 CU1 and the Mac client requires UCY.
You cheated. You read my notes. So supported desktops, Mac running OS X El Capitan or better. Anybody know where that picture is? Yosemite? Yeah. That's Yosemite Valley right there. So UCY dependencies, where was my question on server support? So here's where we're talking about it. So internally, we have UCY versions. We have UCY version 1.0 and 2.0. Those are internal versions we've got. 2013 runs UCY 1. 2015 runs UCY 2. So contact list management, so this is the ability to manage that contact list. I told you guys we were all going to take a picture of this. Is in 2015, not available in 2013. Group management, so managing the groups inside the contact list. If you're on the 2013 backend, you're not going to be able to do that because we have that backend dependency on UCY. So going down this conversation history, server-side conversation history, everybody seeing a trend? We need to get to 2015. Auto accept of IM messages as well as delegate management. So here's where we get into the stars. So the two stars down here, support for a desktop application type. So for 2015, that's planned for cumulative update 4. That is a very tentative date of October that we'll be releasing that cumulative update. You know, we get very cautious with dates, things can change, but that's fairly on track right now. The boss admin experience, so the enhanced boss admin, you're looking at CU update, so that's going to be coming out in the client update. E911, which is critical, we will be updating and require that CU for both platforms. And then location-based routing. Where's my LBR question from this morning? You won. You stumped me. Yes. With the caveat, CU4 includes that stuff that's been ramped up and dialed up for UCY, UCMP to support LBR. What I would ask is there's a gentleman who volunteered to assist you. He doesn't know yet. He's sitting right behind you, Ricardo. I want you to exchange your information with him, and we'll talk and we'll test that with you because that's very key to us. So, hey, Ricardo, guess what? So we're going to go through this quickly. Again, we delivered a troubleshooting session this morning at 9 a.m. It's online. You can record. You can view the recording. So I want to get that open up for questions. So what we're looking at here is the web service auto discover response. We're going to talk about auto discover in the next slides. The one thing I want to talk about is anybody in preview remember the dependency upon the reverse proxy? Yeah. So if you were internal, what did we do with your traffic? We hairpinned it out to the internet and brought it back in. Everybody loved that, right? So after, I think, the 600th mail from you guys on that, our friend Sean was able to get that fixed, so we no longer hairpin traffic for internal connections. We talked. That concludes our session. Thank you. So we listen, and that's obviously the value of the preview TAP programs is when you tell us something, we listen, we get these changes, you know, and Sean went to bat, and we were able to make those changes. So we no longer hairpin that traffic. We have some updated graphics on that here. We talked about this in the troubleshooting session. We do auto-discover requests to sign on. We try all four of these addresses. We try them all at the same time, and all four requests continue out. So if you fire up Charles, which is a web proxy on a Mac, or sorry, web troubleshooting tool on the Mac, or if you connect to a Fiddler machine, you'll see all of these requests going on. Obviously, if I'm internal on the internal network, I need to resolve link discover internal. What we found in preview is probably 50% of customers we were working with didn't have this published in internal DNS, so they were proxying out, so even after we made that change. So keep in mind the sign-on settings we're using. Looks strikingly similar to iOS, right? So my favorite animated slides. So we'll talk about the auto-discover flow, and we'll try to go quickly. So we've got Jack sitting over there. Jack's an internal Skype for Business for Mac user. He hits the linkdiscoverinternal.contoso.com DNS entry. He hits auto-discover on the internal website. No proxy involved. There was much rejoicing. We talk to UCWA directly, and everything is happy-go-lucky. Did you get a picture? I saw somebody else. Wow, I messed up your animations. So now we've got Naya sitting here, right? So she's a Skype for Business for Mac user. She's connected to the corporate network. However, this organization doesn't publish Link Discover internal. It was about half of our customers we found in preview. So what happens is Naya's connection goes out to the internet, and then we do that lovely and your guys' apparent favorite hairpin. Into the reverse proxy. The reverse proxy looks at auto-discover. We get back that UCWA URL, which is in that auto-discover response document, and we connect to UCWA.
Internally, so that even though you're doing the auto-discover externally, still once you get those addresses back, you're going to connect directly to UCWA internally. You won't hairpin that additional traffic.
So that auto-discover request is going to go out to the interwebs and then come back in, and then your traffic will stay internal. So let's do this a little different. So Amber's sitting at Starbucks. She fires up her client. She is not going to be able to resolve link discover internal because that's not on the external network over at Starbucks. You can tell I live in Seattle. We've got Starbucks everywhere. So she goes through her reverse proxy, connects to the auto discover response or auto discover web service. So Exchange Web Services connectivity. So there's three items here, and there's actually a fourth, which I don't like to talk about, so I'm going to mention it, but I probably shouldn't. So we do three web requests. So this assumes I'm signing in as jason@microsoft.com. We do three web requests to talk to Exchange, and what we're looking for is that autodiscover.xml to give me all about the Exchange environment. We do these three requests, these formats. Anybody know the fourth request? There's an SRV request that's actually done as a very, 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 very last resort fallback. We don't want you to use that, so, but if you do see it in the logs and you go, hey, TechNet says we don't do SRV records, why does that exist? So again, I'm going through these really quick, I'm sorry. Logs, 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 and more logs. Can I switch to you really quick?
Yep.
So the one thing I'm gonna say is it's not as important anymore to know the logging path on the Mac client. So everybody that saw the session this morning, be quiet, don't ruin it. So the log files that are captured on the Mac client are drilled down into folders way deep. Who here loves calling their CEO to tell them to open up Finder, go to the disk, you know, find your user directory, and go find the log file, right? Come on, don't stop at that one clap. So that button cost me two beers to the man in the front row. So that was one of the things that we really, really needed when we found in preview when we wanted these files. So we got the collect logs button, so thank you, Sean. Your two beers will be en route shortly. Hairpinning, that's like a keg. So Sean's in the front row. You guys can all just send the beer down to the front. So I'm going to skip through these so we can keep going to the question and answer. So Fiddler, anybody in here use Fiddler? So great tool. The reason I like Fiddler in this scenario is, anybody in here a primary Mac user? Okay. So you guys, we'll talk here in a second. So most of you are not Mac users, right? If I go tell you to install Charles on a Mac and do a network capture, it's probably going to be difficult for you. It's probably going to be more difficult for you to walk Joe User through installing Charles and doing a capture. And oh, by the way, Charles isn't free. You have to purchase it, blah, blah, blah. So with this scenario, you basically set Fiddler up on your workstation as a web proxy, and you have the Mac client proxy it through. Remember we did this with Windows Phone when we released the Windows Phone mobile client. That was our troubleshooting scenario. So I like this. For the Mac users in here, there was like seven of you. We have a great thing. Sublime on Mac is a great text editor. It's free. In our troubleshooting session, we have a URL to download UCMP parsers for Sublime. What that does is it allows you to view those Mac logs and format them, color code them, you know, errors. The other thing, yeah, much rejoicing for the seven Mac users here. I'm probably getting a free soda. The other thing we did, everybody in here use Snooper? So this one, Rich pulled off, was we said it would be nice to be able to view the Mac logs in Snooper. He talked to the dev, and a day later, we could view the Mac logs in Snooper. You can also view mobility logs in Snooper, Android, iOS. So Snooper should be your probably first troubleshooting tool. Second for the Mac folks would be Sublime. Yes, sir?
Is that possible in the current
preview
client?
So the Snooper build is not yet released that supports reading the Mac logs. We're working to coincide it for that release next month. Fingers crossed, that's a lot of moving trains to align to get out of the station at the same time. But Rich is on it, so if it doesn't happen, rich@microsoft.com. I was kidding. That's not Rich's real email address. Yeah, that was. So don't send a nasty. Or, hey, great seeing you at Ignite. So I went very quick through that. We've got a bit of time for questions. Rich will not leave. He'll be here till 9 p.m. for questions.
I was volunteered.
Voluntold, I believe. His
voluntold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Miro texted me earlier, and he's like, "Just tell Rich to stay."
Yeah.
Any questions on the Mac client? Everybody looks, does it look better than Link for Mac?
Yeah.
Happy?